This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Hi guys, Austin here again. Today we're doing Chapter 23, Shopping Trolley. And if you didn't know what the title is, it's David Williams' Bad Dad. The boy lay still on his deflated Lilo, listening to Dad and Auntie Flip talking in the living room. After a few minutes, Frank's bedroom door opened a little, and Dad peered in. The boy shut his eyes tight as a pantomime of sleep. "I'm sorry, mate," whispered Dad, "but I have no choice I have to do this for the both of us." Frank opened one eye the tiniest bit. He saw his dad framed in the doorway. There was something Frank, though, he'd never see again. His father had his old racing gear on. It was red, white and blue boiler suit, which he had not worn since the accident. Now the suit was all crumpled, grimy and tight upon him since his tummy had expanded. Frank knew what his father was up to no good. He had to find out what. The next sound the boy heard was from the front door opening. Clunk! As soon as he heard the front door closing, the boy leaped up from his Lilo and made another little dummy of himself in case Auntie Flip poked her head around the door. He pushed his feet into his slippers, in a rush putting the left one on his right foot and the right one on his left. In the living room, Auntie Flip could be heard composing another poem. "Looking at you would always make me dotty. Your eyes, your toes, even your little bottom." "No, botty. This is genius." There wasn't time tonight to wait for the lady to go to the toilet. Frank decided he had to create a diversion. He crawled into the kitchen and turned on the tap. Then he snuck himself behind the door just as Auntie Flip trundled into the room. "Most peculiar," said the lady, and then she walked over to the sink to turn the tap off. "I hope this place isn't haunted. Ghost, give me the willies." Frank seized his moment. He rushed round the kitchen door, ran down the hallway with the sound of the tap still gushing. He opened the front door, and the door closed the door behind him and peered over the walkway. From up there, on the 99th floor, his father was now a little dot moving across the car park below. Frank leaped into his washing basket and flew down the stairs. Just as he reached the bottom, he saw his dad limp over to a Rolls Royce. The last one was white, but this one was silver. Was it the same car? The engine was running and the three men from the other night were inside. This time, Fingers was in the driving seat with little Mr. Big seated next to him. The mighty Thumbs was sitting in the back. He was so heavy that the car was tilted over to one side. "You're late," snarled Mr. Big. "Sorry, Governor," replied Dad. "Get in, and you better do what we say, or there'll be trouble." Dad climbed in, and as the Rolls Royce roared off, Frank felt as he'd been punched hard in the stomach. His dad had lied to him. He was going off to do no good with these bad, bad men. But the boy had to stop his father before it was too late. But he had a problem. How on earth was he going to be able to follow a car on foot? He wasn't as fast as a runner. He wasn't a fast runner as it was. Frank spotted a discarded shopping trolley upturned in the grass. The boy righted it, and he ran alongside it as it was a toboggan before leaping in. By some miracle, the shopping trolley was the one shopping trolley in the world that didn't have wonky wheels. It sped along the road, passing an old dad chugging along in a Morris Minor. Frank seized his chance and held onto the side of the car, whizzing down the road now. The Rolls Royce was just a few cars ahead. The traffic lights turned red and all the cars slowed down to stop. Frank pushed away from the Morris Minor so he could catch up with the Rolls Royce. So, as not to be seen, Frank ducked his head. He grabbed onto the boot handle of the Rolls Royce as his light turned green when the car zoomed off. So did Frank. Night was falling, and after a few minutes, the Rolls Royce had turned off into an industrial estate. The road became bumpy, and the boy was throwing up and down in his trolley. As he could sense, the Rolls was slowing down. To stop, Frank let go of the car. Without any brakes, the shopping trolley trundled off at speed. The front wheels hit the pavement and the trolley did a somersault. Frank crash-landed into a hedge. Doosh! Oof! The boy was now caged in an upside-down shopping trolley. He pushed it upwards and tangled his pajamas from the branches of the bush and hid behind a burnt out old burger van. Frank watched as the four men got out of the Rolls Royce and looked around. As it was a Saturday night, the industrial estate was empty of people. Rusty old garage doors squeaked open and three of the men disappeared inside. It was that magical sound again. Out zoomed the yellow Mini, coming to a stop a centimetre from Mr. Big's foot. "Very clever, Gilbert," snarled the crime boss. "So this heap of junk is a getaway car?" "Trust me, Mr. Big," replied Dad. "Her name is Queenie. I rebuilt her with my own hands, and she is the greatest racing car in the world." Thank you, guys. Chapter 24 is soon. Bye!
Hey guys, it's Lily and today we will be reading The Bad Guys, Episode 1, Chapter 8. So how about it? Well, they certainly didn't seem very grateful, did they? They called me a sardine.
I thought you were a sardine.
I'm not a sardine. I'm a piranha, man. Piranha. Whatever. You're missing the point, guys. We did it. We gave 200 dogs a whole new life. Doesn't that just make you feel awesome? You really do hug way more than I'm comfortable with, man. Oh, come on, you loved it. I know you did. Tell me the truth. Didn't it feel great to be the good guy for once? Tell me how it feels, fellas. It actually felt very nice. It felt better than nice. It felt good. I felt wonderful, man, but they still called me a sardine. If you stick with me, little buddy, no one will make a mistake for you as a sardine ever again. You'll be Bolivia's most famous hero. Are you with me? Sure. But you'd better be right. And what about you, big fella? I really like being good. I'm in. That just leaves you, handsome. What do you say? Want to be in my gang? Only if I have your word that there'll be no more hugging. I'll try, baby, but I promise I'm not making any promises. Today is the first day of our new lives. We're not bad guys anymore. We're good guys. and we are going to make the world a better place. For the first time in my life, the future smells sweet. Wait a second, that doesn't sound sweet. Piranha, did you fart again? I get gassy when I'm upset. Just deal with it. Thank you.
The pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They took some honey and plenty of money wrapped up in a 5-pound note. The owl looked up to the stars above and sang to a small guitar. Oh, lovely pussy, oh pussy, my love, what a beautiful pussy you are. You are, you are. What a beautiful pussy you are. Pussy said to the owl, you elegant fowl, how charmingly sweet you sing. Oh, let us be married, too long we have tarried, but what shall we do for a ring? They sailed away for a year and a day to the land where the bong tree grows. And there in a wood, a piggywig stood with a ring at the end of his nose. His nose, his nose, with a ring at the end of his nose. Dear pig, are you willing to sell for 1 shilling your ring? Said the piggy, I will. So they took it away and were married next day by the turkey that lived on the hill. They dined on mince and slices of quince, which they ate with a runcible spoon. And hand in hand, on the edge of the sand, they danced by the light of the moon. The moon, the moon. They danced by the light of the moon.
I'm Elmer Fudd. And this is the story of how that wascal of a wabbit, Bugs Bunny, met Hiawatha, the widow Indian boy. One day, Hiawatha went into the great forest on a hunting trip, all alone.
Ugh, me, Hiawatha, hunting Bugs Bunny, the trickiest rabbit in the forest.
At that very moment, our old friend Bugs Bunny was happily skipping through the forest.
I'm full of hop, look, and listen. That's why no one catches me. I'm full of hop, look, and listen. That's the reason I stay free. But when there's danger, my ears, they wriggle. Sometimes it makes me giggle. So why not hop, look, and listen, and be happy just like me? Who's this little Indian coming along? Hello, little Indian.
Ugh, me, Hiawatha. Have you seen Bugs Bunny? It is he I am hunting with his bow and arrow.
Bugs Bunny?
Yes, the tricky rabbit.
Oh, you mean that lovable, cute little harmless rabbit?
Yes, it is he I seek.
Oh, yeah? Why don't you forget the whole thing? Go home and light a fire and keep your wig warm.
but I have to catch Bugs Bunny to become a brave. Every young Indian must do some great deed. Then the chief will make him a brave. I must catch Bugs Bunny to become a brave.
Oh, well, that's different. Look, Hi, how are you going to catch Bugs Bunny when you don't even know what he looks like?
You know how he look?
Why, sure. He's got two long ears like these, and two buck teeth like these. And he chews a carrot and always says, what's up, Doc?
By the great hunting spirit, you're Bugs Bunny.
Hiawatha, you are so right.
I got Bugs Bunny. I'll become a brave at last.
A hunting he did go, a hunting he did go. A Hiawatha caught the rabbit, a hunting he did go.
The whole Indian village was celebrating Hiawatha's becoming a brave. They were all prepared to feast on wabbit stew. In fact, Bugs Bunny was the wabbit they were cooking. He was already in a pot of water with a fire started under it.
Oh, singing in the wash tub, la-di-da-di-da. This bed sure feels good. Could be a little hotter, though. Hey, rain in the face. Throw another log on the fire, will you?
Ugh.
Something sure smells good around here. What's cooking, Doc?
Cook 'em rabbit stew.
Oh, rabbit stew. Rabbit stew! That's me! Let me out of here!
Hey, stop. Come back here.
So long, Smarty. I can't stay for the party.
Bugs ran frantically through the woods with the braves in hot pursuit.
Gosh, those Indians can sure run. I'd better duck into this cave and try to lose them.
The Indians came right up to the cave, too, but they didn't know Bugs Bunny was inside.
Quiet, my braves. We have lost trail of Bugs Bunny. We will ask advice of great hunting spirit who live in this cave. Oh, great hunting spirit, we have lost trail of Bugs Bunny. Tell us what to do.
Great hunting spirit in here? Oh, I get it. They think the great hunting spirit lives in this cave. Say, that gives me an idea. I'll pretend I'm the great hunting spirit and fool them. Okay, then. I speak and you obey. First off, Bugs Bunny and me is pals, and I don't want you Indians to hurt a hair of that hair. In fact, I'm sending him out there, and I want you to make him the big chief. Get it?
Yes, Almighty Spirit.
So Bugs Bunny was made chief of the tribe, and all the braves gathered round to hear his first orders.
Crowd around, fellas. Now here's the deal. We're going to have a big hunt. And we're not after buffalo or stuff like that there. We're after better game. We're going after carrots.
Carrots?
Yeah, carrots. Now get going. Spread out and come back loaded. You too, Hiawatha. You're a big brave now. Boy, will I have plenty of carrots to eat. Big Chief Bugs Bunny has spoken.
That's all, folks. the mountaintop in Tennessee. Green estate in the land of the free. Raised in the woods so's he knew every tree. Killed him a bar when he was only three. Davy, Davy Crockett, king of the wild frontier. Fought single-handed through the Injun War till the Creeks was whipped and peace was in store. And while he was handling this risky chore, made himself a legend forevermore. Davy, Davy Crockett, the man who don't know fear. He went off to Congress and served a spell, fixing up the government and laws as well. Took over Washington, so I heard tell, and patched up the crack in the Liberty Bell. Davy, Davy Crockett, seeing his duty clear. When he come home, his politicking was done. Why, the Western March had just begun. So he packed his gear and his trusty gun and lit out a grinning to follow the sun. Davy, Davy Crockett, leading a pioneer.
I'm not a bat or a rat or a cat. I'm not a gnu or a kangaroo. I'm not a goose or a moose on the loose.
I am a mole and I live in a hole.
I'm not a cow or a chow or a sow.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.